Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Good Friday. This in our Judeo-Christian Western worldview, Good Friday. We celebrate that the day our Lord and Savior was put on the cross. Now, of course, folks, we understand it's likely not the day, given the 3 days, 36 hours, Passover date and such. Okay, I fully understand that, but for the sake of this discussion and further discussions throughout this broadcast, it is Good Friday. It is April 2nd, 2021. It is day number, what is it? Day number 73 of America held hostage by the Chinese Communist Party puppet regime of Biden-Harris or Harris-Biden. Have a lot of information to get into. Please stay close to your radio. Please stay close to your computer, whatever your iPhone, whatever you're listening and watching this. There, a lot of important information coming to you this hour and next. We are having some video issues. All right. So I want to thank you for your patience as we resolve them. Chances are we will need to get another piece of equipment in here because, we've burned through a lot of uploads and we push out a lot of bandwidth. And I've got to tell you that.
And when you work with equipment like computers and stuff, they get old.
They get old. That's right. Just like us, we get old. Part of the business. So I'm unsure how long this is going to be, but there will be some, I believe, some video overlays. So, or some image and video overlays. So don't worry about it. But the information is going to get out there. We've got a lot of important information to get out there. A couple of things. It's some old business. You know, the Hunter Biden laptop, right? Boy, everyone's saying, well, that's just Russian disinformation. The playbook is the same. All right. I just want to get this out there. Thanks to a number of people. Now, I've got a copy of, well, okay, how could I put this? I have the exact copy of the Hunter Biden laptop. And I want to thank a couple of people. JP, thank you. Mark, thank you. And you know what? I'm going to leave out the names only because it's not, it wouldn't be prudent, as Bush Senior would say, right? Wouldn't be prudent. But nonetheless, I've looked over the files, the text messages, the images, the videos. My goodness. It's enough to curl your hair. But the bottom line is Hunter Biden has admitted that the laptop, well, yeah, I guess it could be mine. I guess so. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that it was his, but that's NPR pushing, and the mainstream media pushing that story. So now, having said that, the information on there would absolutely put his father, and I've seen this in so many websites. Well, it's Hunter Biden's. It's not, Hunter Biden's not the president. Well, it implicates Joseph Biden and his brother and many others in power. I'm telling you, it is criminal to say the least. And I'm not talking about the pornography aspect of it, but I'm or the objectionable moral problems with it. I'm talking about the criminal evidence that's on there. Criminal. That should be the center of attention of the FBI and our intelligence community, given the fact that Joseph Biden plays a huge role in the criminality. It's something. It really is. And then, of course, the other part of it, yes, yes, there is some depravity. And yes, that depravity could very well be criminal, depending on ages. And the other, the drug use and such, obviously that's criminal. But the most important part of this is the nexus to the commander in chief. Well, not really. You know, the Biden puppet, the selected installed individual in office. It's, how he got there is a different subject. Okay. I wanted to make sure that's clear that, hey, Hunter Biden came out and said, yeah, maybe that is in fact, it could, I'm not going to rule that out. And of course, you know, big, I'll just leave it there. I'm just going to leave it there. All right. Some other things that, you really need to know about. Breitbart reported this earlier today. This Biden, have you heard about this, folks? Biden infrastructure bill? Okay. This, a couple of things about this. Because now we are looking at this, the larger picture of, segregation, cancel culture, just a number of things. Biden infrastructure bill, includes $20 billion to destroy highways for being racist. Now, that, yeah, you heard me right. But that also is, related to, something even equally disturbing, and that's the fact that there won't be any awards given. And Breitbart is reporting this as well. I may have said that, and if I did, I apologize already. But Breitbart's reporting about the fact that Texas, for example, is going to be held up. The work in Texas Department of Transportation, Federal Department of Transportation, is going to hold up work in Texas. This was reported earlier today. You just can't make this up. I mean, this is absolutely beyond the pale in my view. Okay, so the Biden Department of Transportation has halted a Texas highway project because of racial inequalities. Now, this is where we're at today. And I'm going to get to the golden thread as well that kind of ties everything together. And especially since this is, since Western civilization Christians are celebrating Good Friday, what the American Civil War / Revolution, what it's really over. And it has to do with our faith. It has to do with our Christian faith and our walk in faith. But getting back to the highway issue, Biden's Department of Transportation has halted the Texas Highway Project using Title VI, the Civil Rights Act. Now think about this for a moment. Using Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as legal justification, Joe Biden's Department of Transportation has put a stop, paused, put a pin in it, paused a highway widening project in Houston. This is a first. Breitbart is reporting this. In what they're saying is, in what could be a first for any administration in this context, the Biden administration is using its federal powers to pause the Texas Department of Transportation to widen Interstate 45. Now, look, you might say, okay, it's only one project, only one thing, and so on. No. This is setting a precedent. This has never happened before. But most assuredly, this will be used as a, within this context, to happen again. And people have got to really understand what this means. The administration, this regime, the Biden regime, Pete Buttigieg, is using this as a test to address what it calls a history of government-driven racial inequalities. Now think about that. That's government driven racial inequalities. What does that even mean? Well, see, there have been complaints from local activities during the federal DOT's intervention period. In other words, the proposed plan, known as the North Houston Highway Improvement Project, that was proposed to widen Interstate 45 at three different sections or locations. The Texas Department of Transportation, they completed this environmental review of the project back in February and found it would have significant impact on the surrounding communities the highway currently runs through. Okay, now you've driven through cities. I'm sure everyone listening has driven through large cities. You understand what I'm saying here and what's being said here, right? So in other words, it's going to displace, or at least allegedly displace, a substantial number of Black and Hispanic communities, and that includes schools, places of worship, more than 1,000 homes and businesses. And his, Biden's Secretary of Transportation, Buttigieg, said that he will make what he calls systemic racism the centerpiece of his time at the department. Consistent with Biden Executive Order 13985. Now, if we go to Biden's Executive Order 13985 from my cheat sheet right here, and if I didn't have a cheat sheet, could I do this? Nope, I couldn't do that. Well, okay. This is one of the, I think, nearly 80 executive orders and actions to date that he has made. I think 63 in the first, I don't know, first 30 days of his stay at the Oval Office, or in the first 3 weeks, I should say. But this has to do with fighting racism. But he's using Title VI as part of the Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as the reason for stopping this project, he and Buttigieg. And because Title VI, what Title VI of the Civil Rights Act does, it prohibits discrimination based on race, color, or national origin in programs that are receiving federal financial assistance. Now, the reason I bring this up, and I kind of started with this, is because what we're seeing here is everything involves race, and then with this regime, it involves race. And if whatever is taking place does not conform to that narrative, it's either not addressed or not reported upon by the mainstream media, by the echo chamber of the mainstream media. But this is how bad this is. And this should, and you might not think it has really anything to do with anything, but this should give you an idea of the outrage, no matter what the verdict, the outrage that's going to take place at the conclusion of the Derek Chauvin trial. Okay. When I say this, cities will burn regardless of the decision. But getting on board of this, okay, with this, you've got other Democrats as well. You've got Sheila Jackson Lee, for example, another Democratic socialist or communist who represents the Houston area. She's challenging the project. Now, she's saying that she is holding off on the expansion, including starting on contract solicitation until federal DOT has time to review the plans, and including and especially the civil rights and environmental concerns. And then she added this: I think the project is the poster child for the regime. She used it with the word administration, their policies. Okay, that's right. So, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And I'm telling you, it's, no matter how hard you try, you can't make this stuff up. And this is something as well that I'm going to kind of put in here, fold in here. What are we looking at with respect to what the left, what the communist left, what those people in power are attempting to do to us? Whether it's through making criminals out of law-abiding citizens, or making racists out of people that don't have a racist bone in their body. It's all part of the same program. It's all part of the same playbook. And we've seen this forever, at least in modern history. Now, I've got some other related issues here that I want to reference as well. The Biden infrastructure plan related to this, it abandons the right to work laws. It is a regressive, not a progressive, but a tremendously regressive situation that we're looking at here. All right. Folks, again, if you're just joining me, we are on audio only, and this will be for, I don't know, if you, this program and perhaps into next week until we can most likely get some additional equipment in here and give you a better quality show. Upgrade. It's necessary. All right. And I mentioned about the $20 billion to destroy highways for being racist. This is at Summit News as well. The Biden regime claims longstanding and persistent racial injustice in the infrastructure. And this goes along with the Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Bill. But Biden's $2.5 trillion infrastructure spending spree, remember when he announced this? It's going to include $20 billion that's destined for actually destroying highways because they've been deemed to be racist. Now let that sink in. Again, this is all kind of bubbling to a conclusion, which I will get to by the end of the first hour and provide some insight into where this is all headed. But this regime, for example, pointed to Biden and company. They pointed to the Claiborne Expressway in New Orleans and Interstate 81 in Syracuse, which I've traveled frequently in Syracuse, New York, as two examples of longstanding and persistent racial injustice in infrastructure. What? What does that even mean? And there is another $621 billion, which has been touted for transportation infrastructure and resilience, with the Biden regime promising it will address historic inequities. Now, if this sounds like a bunch of white noise to you, I'm right there with you. But it's important to really understand what is taking place here, because it affects everyone. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. It affects everyone. But what this current regime says that structural racism and persistent economic inequities have undermined opportunity for millions of workers. And again, I refer back to Pete Buttigieg, or however you pronounce his last name. He proclaimed last year, black and brown neighborhoods have been disproportionately divided by highways or projects or highway projects, or left isolated by lack of adequate transit and transportation resources. Really? I'd like to see some statistics on that. He sent a tweet out, and this tweet that was back in December of last year. But when he was being confirmed during his Senate confirmation hearing in January, he said, at worst, misguided policies and missed opportunities in transportation can reinforce racial and economic inequality by dividing or isolating neighborhoods and undermining government's basic role in empowering Americans to survive. So there's that. Yeah. Highways are racist, don't you know? And then we have Tucker Carlson yesterday, last night, on his show, warning that the Biden regime is looting America and that the infrastructure outline is as much about tearing down highways than it is building them, hence the reference to the destruction of highways. In other words, we can't have that highway running through this neighborhood. My goodness. It's actually separating or segregating the neighborhood. But who's the bigger specialist of segregation? But is this really about infrastructure, about bridges, about roads, about airports, things we could actually use? Or is this yet another weird climate scheme or power grab, race-based redistribution plan? That's what Tucker Carlson asked, and that's a good point. And he cited many examples of non-infrastructure wokeness, I guess is a the word to use, in this bill. And of course, you have to have AOC coming out and saying, well, wait, no, it's not nearly enough. You know, this infrastructure bill, it's not nearly enough. And she goes, she gets in it. And oh my goodness. It just, it's ridiculous at its face. All right. On its face. All right. So there is that. And again, everything that is being done right now is for the destruction of the United States. It's for the destruction of the West. It's bigger than the United States. It's really for the destruction of the West. And one thing, and I want to mention this as well. President Trump represents a clear threat, even today, to the globalist power structure. And it's more than President Trump. It's you and I. It's anyone who considers American exceptionalism to be part of our heritage, being part of Americana. We are targets. But we are targets for a bigger reason. Again, I'll get to it in a moment. But now what's taking place right now is lawfare, to the extent that New York prosecutors, they subpoenaed the personal bank records of the Trump Organization chief financial officer. The intent is to find a way, a backdoor, an end around to destroy President Donald Trump. Now, the Conservative Treehouse had a column yesterday, which I went through, I read, I studied, and I followed some links and such. And I can see exactly what's happening. And let me just briefly walk you through it again, because it goes to motive, it goes to means, it goes to opportunity, it goes to last year's election. It goes to a lot of things, but here's here's the motive of a fully weaponized Department of Justice here. They're looking for any way to destroy President Trump as long as he currently exists in any fashion. If anyone is following him, if he has any political influence whatsoever, he is a clear threat to the globalist agenda. So direct targeting of Donald Trump. Now this, again, this was Sundance wrote this yesterday, Conservatory House, and I went through this with really a fine tooth comb, and I get this and I understand this. And this is all part of the larger picture. So direct targeting of President Trump has not succeeded to this point. Direct attacks against him, his organization, and personal finances haven't succeeded. The Department of Justice has failed to get any results that they believe that they need. So now they need something different. They need a backdoor. They need another way. They need some leverage from somewhere, anywhere. It doesn't matter, that they can use that leverage to destroy President Trump and those who believe in American exceptionalism and nationalism and sovereignty and borders and language and culture. Okay? You get the idea, right? Well, now New York State prosecutors in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan, they've subpoenaed the personal bank records of the CFO of the Trump Organization. Okay. In this investigation of President Trump and his company, this according to yet none other than the New York Times. Now, why is this important? And folks, you remember me saying, look, and you remember that iconic picture of President Trump sitting in a chair and saying, it's not me thereafter. It's you. I'm just in the way. Well, that's exactly what it means. And nothing else right now is as important as eliminating President Trump and eliminating that spirit. But what is that spirit that I keep referencing, given this fact is a holy day for Christians in the West? And please don't lose sight. Please do not lose sight when I reference Good Friday or the day of our Lord's crucifixion. And if you don't agree with the date, I mean, look, I understand that, but that's not what this discussion is about. It's about the attack against our Judeo-Christian values, because they need to eliminate those as well. And remember that Twitter message by David Floof. It is not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind, meaning you and I, must never rise again, must not rise again. All right. This is a manner, a method. This is pure lawfare. And it's going to reach into other avenues as well, other people. We are all going to experience this in one way, shape, or form, which has something to do with our credit score or social credit score, to be more precise. And this is something that, that really needs further explanation. It really needs further inspection when I say about the social credit score. The vaccine, okay, for example. Now, we have states that are actually passing laws that, you can't mandate a vaccine passport and stuff, or attempting to pass laws and such. But what they're attempting to do is to ostracize anyone who does not tote the regime, the globalist line, okay? And that includes calling you a racist. That includes calling you a domestic terrorist. And you can be a domestic terrorist and a racist, or a racist that would liken you to a terrorist, or provide the predicate for you being a terrorist. The communist China playbook right now is what they are following. And anyone who doesn't see it, you've got to be able to see it. You know, China has sought and seeks to shape its ideal citizen. Hey, don't ask any questions. Don't disobey. Don't think for yourself. We're going to tell you what to think. We're going to tell you how to act. We're going to tell you what papers to carry. And we're going to tell you what you can and can't post on social media. And if anything is objectionable, you're going to be censored or worse, banned. Look what happened with President Trump. And they're realizing, and here's why they are accelerating their plans. Because people have written me, and thank you so much. I read every email. I read every piece of paper I get in the mail. Eric the Tech, I believe I sent you, let me just double check here. I believe I sent you a graphic. And I think this is important for people to see. Actually, to see what's going on here. You know, we talk about YouTube, for example. We talk about YouTube and other platforms messing with the numbers. All right. Let me see here. All right. It would be the YouTube number three graphic, if we can put that up on the screen. And for those watching at home or watching this by way of Rumble, it should show up here on your screen momentarily. But when you take a look at this graphic, the farewell address of President Donald Trump had like 6.3 million views at one point. It had 250,000 likes or thumbs up and 20,000 downvotes, okay, on YouTube. This is just one platform. Now, Biden's inauguration, that didn't even reach 8,000 at the same time as the farewell address of the president. There it is there on your screen. Okay. You can follow along with me. And had over 38,000 dislikes or thumbs down. Now, whoever put this graphic together, I'm going to thank them. I don't know who it was. This was from a Twitter posting. And you can see the name at the top. But a few moments later, YouTube comes out, writes this poster. Yeah, in response to creator feedback around well-being and targeted dislike campaigns, we're testing a few new designs that don't show the public dislike count. Well, how disingenuous do you have to be to put that up there? And how utterly moronic do these people think we are? They think we're stupid and they're laughing at us. Biden, the most popular president in the world, according to the left, right? He got 81 or however many million votes. He couldn't draw a crowd if you paid the crowd and gave him a week's notice anywhere. And this is really exhibiting, this is really evidence of that fact. So not that you really needed more evidence, but there it is. And this is how the media, the mainstream media, and the big tech oligarchs are shaping some of the narrative. They're outright banning, for example, Facebook and other big tech companies have banned the voice of President Trump on their platform. Did you see that? YouTube, Facebook. The interview with Laura Trump banned. So it was posted on Rumble, and my goodness, what a shot in the arm for Rumble, an expensive one for Rumble, but you can see the popularity of President Trump, and they're watching this and they're not liking it. Not at all. They're pushing us to a point. And the next one, the next detachment, Eric, enough, man. Okay. We're going to put that up there because here's where all of us, I believe, at some point in the near future are going to be. Y'all remember this? This is that man that was driving, and I believe this was in Salem, Oregon. I believe that's where this was. We talked about it earlier in the week. And Antifa, Black Lives Matter, of course, masquerading in some respects as press, right? Press with your iPhone. Okay, you got it. They threw paint on his windshield and busted on his back window. And he gets out. And then one of them shoots him with a chemical spray. And when that happens, after his window was broken, after he couldn't see because of the paint on his windshield, after they banged up his truck, after he got sprayed by bear spray or mace, then he pulled out a weapon. And there it is. He pulled out a handgun, and he chambered around. And he did not point it at anyone, but he warned people to get back. And he was immediately arrested, by definition, arrested, made to lie on his face in the middle of the street while being taunted by Antifa. And notice, you want to talk about race? Most of these street urchins are white or they're Caucasian. I mean, they're not black, but okay. So you think this is about race? This is about anarchy. This is about communism. And this, but nonetheless, look at that man and understand that will be or could be most likely each one of us. That's where we're headed. I talked about that earlier in the week. But, and then the next one over, while we're at it, might as well go right here. I found this little meme, and I'm going to take a slight digression. I found this little meme somewhere, and the younger people of our audience will enjoy this. This is not all men just want sex, okay? Now, this is not distasteful. All right. Look at the top, right? Look at the top. Not all men just want sex. And it's a, for radio listeners, it's a picture of a male and female walking hand in hand down a country dirt road. Some also want to walk and talk about rounding up the communists and dropping them from helicopters. And I thought that was humorous. But the number, what I thought was relevant more than the humor was how quickly and how many people upvoted this or commented and say, yeah, absolutely. And how many women actually were involved. And yes, women said, yeah, yes. So there is this awakening. What does this have to do with, for example, what I was talking about President Trump and the New York, the subpoena by, of the CFO of the Trump Organization? Because it's a communist agenda against President Trump. And if, and everyone is, they are coming out and they are, one thing that President Trump did, and I have to really state this because people will say, wait a minute, President Trump, you know, he made some bad political choices. He made some horrific choices in his cabinet appointments and such. All right. I get that. I understand that. But I don't necessarily agree that that's really all that relevant. And I'll tell you why. It's the breadth, the width, the depth of the swamp. Think about this for a moment, okay? Again, you've got to think about how, how would you even describe this? How many people were against President Trump and still are against President Trump. All right, you've got the entire intelligence community. Remember when it was said that, you know, the intelligence community, the CIA, the intelligence community, they can get you 6 ways from Sunday. And they said that publicly. That's true. So I believe, and again, when you look at the what President Trump was up against and remains up against, and the fact that he still is a threat, you can understand, I think, where things are going. All right. The ultimate goal here. The ultimate goal is the destruction of Western society. It's a destruction of you and me. It's a destruction of conservative Christians, and it's going after all of us. It's the destruction of our country. And the adversary is formidable. The scope of the enemy, the scale of the war in which we face, which we are about to face even in a kinetic sense. The financial backing of the opposition, whether it's the street urchins in Salem and Portland or whatever, versus the big corporations, the economic power that they have, the decades that they've had, if not an entire century that they've had, of building up against what we're fighting right now, or against the freedom, you know, pro-globalism, the heck with the nationalism, open borders and no borders, the destruction of our culture and our language, of our country. They've had decades and countless amount of money to do this. So President Trump has, they removed him from office through a fraudulent election, which I sense will be proven. I really believe that will be proven in a court if it gets there. And I hope it does. People like Mike Lindell and Sidney Powell and people, and this is one kind of a left turn here I want to address. People are saying, well, Sidney Powell already says that no reasonable person would ever believe what I said was true. Okay. Have you heard that, folks? In her defense? Look, I'm not an attorney, but I can tell you this. That is a standard defense in defamation cases. All right. So if that's a standard defense, that does not mean, she or anyone would stand by that statement, the way it's written. Okay. It's a standard inclusionary defense. All right. Dismiss it on its face. It's part of a motion for dismissal because no reasonable person would believe, you know, they think it's hyperbole. Okay. That's, believe me, I've seen it in every single, just about every single defamation case, which is filed against Sidney Powell, and others. But I've seen it in every single defamation case except for, I think, one that, I've ever looked at. And that's just a standard defense. But okay, but getting back to the issue at hand here. The decades of willful blindness, the willful blindness of at least the majority of the American people, including and especially those on the left or Democratic Party, which is now the Socialist Communist Party. And of course, those who believe that his removal, the election was free and fair. Man, I'll tell you, the media pushing that narrative and such. You can see you've got a fifth column in the media. You've got a fifth column throughout government, SES level positions and such. So what I'm saying is President Trump represented someone who was able to, at the very least, by his existence, he showed you who the enemy was or is. All right. At the very least, that's what he had done. He drew the enemy out for our identification. And isn't that what we're seeing right now? I believe that to be 100% true. If he did nothing else, he showed you and he showed me and he showed the world who was and is acting against the best interests of the United States. And he was the biggest opponent of this global order of things or this new world order or whatever you want to call it. Build Back Better, the Great Reset. He fought to preserve the interests of the United States. And by doing so, he was able to draw out and show who our enemies are. And that's important. If he did nothing else, and if you criticize him for whatever you want to criticize him for, you can thank him for at least that, showing us who is against us and working against those people. And we can see it now, as I mentioned, about these sideways are racist, okay? I mean, do you think for one minute that would exist under a President Trump administration? I don't think so. Eric the Tech, I'm going to ask you that. Can you even imagine in your wildest dreams in a President Trump administration, we're not going to do that highway because that's racist. Can you imagine that?
No.
All right. But that's what's really, and the destruction, and I have to add this too. What was the one thing that, in a broad swath of things, what was one area that President Trump really excelled at and really was building back in this country? Our manufacturing base, our industrial base, which is the component where the middle class, which drives the middle class, the blue collar jobs. And this is what has been exploited by the left, sent overseas and destroyed over the last half a century. And behind that, dynamic is the globalist interest. I guess how else can you describe it? And it's so important to really understand that, that all of this, what's really taking place. But President Trump really exposed who our enemies are. And he understood what had gone on the last half a century. He used, as part of a broader national security policy, economic leverage. And to understand who is against President Trump because of this economic leverage that he did create, well, is to understand who is against you and I and against America. So that's the really that's the key takeaways here. And then the even larger picture than that, the even bigger picture than that, because I should add this too. We are going to be following the Chinese model of social credit. When you look at China's social credit system, it's designed to track every Chinese citizen's social and economic behavior. That's what's coming to the United States. That's through these digital coronavirus or COVID-1984, actually the Chinese Communist Party virus, through these digital passports. It's going to be more than that. Totalitarians, when you look at what they do, these authoritarians, what they do, these tyrants, what they do is they integrate the problem and solution with the surveillance system. It exceeds threats of physical force or, you know, imprisonment. They will socially shame you. They will ostracize you. They will do everything to ensure that they have total control over all of us. And you know, in China, anything from traffic violations, for example, or smoking in a non-smoking area, or smoking at all, or you name it, it affects or impacts your social credit score. And we're going to see that today. And understand that China's social credit system, what that's about is power and conformity. It's an attempt to shape their citizens into their communist Chinese party ideal subject. Hey, don't ask questions. Don't disobey. Don't think for yourself. And that's what's coming here. And it's in part, it's already here because the push by the left to censor, for example, viewpoints that don't conform with their communist ideology on the left is dangerous and antithetical to the freedom of speech and free exchange of ideas that we each one of us holds dear. But this is just the beginning of the left, of the communist left in this country, of their activity to silence dissent. I don't know whether you saw it, that there was a lawyer for PBS was caught on camera calling for re-education camps for kids, for the children of conservatives. And numerous other political pundits have called for cable companies, for example, to deplatform OANN, Newsmax, Fox News, and such. You remember that? But the push by the left to censor these viewpoints that don't conform with their communist slash socialist, their ideology is all antithetical to the freedom of speech and free exchange of ideas that we hold dear. We're no longer a representative republic. We no longer have a constitution. And cancel culture is the way. And you see it again. I made a big thing about the highway thing, about the infrastructure thing. This is all part of it. We have to understand how bad this is. But even bigger, at the core, the American Civil War, the American Revolution, the kinetic aspect, the social credit score, all of this stuff, it's over Judeo-Christian values. It's, you know, when we abandon the Bible, nature abhors a vacuum, evil takes its place, right? That's what happens. And we as conservatives, we as Christians often speak of our values and how the current civil war, at least in the United States and even throughout the West, is really a battle between good and evil, a battle between those values in the left or the communist socialists, they reject Judeo-Christian values. But how many people really understand what we're really talking about in terms of what Judeo-Christian values are? You know, people will send me emails and say, well, Judeo-Christian, it's a fraud. It's a fake term and it's objectionable to me. You know, Judaism and Christianity, they've got different theologies and you're foolish to talk about it. And then the conversation drifts into Zionism and anti-Semitism. Look, I'm talking about pure biblical values. That's what I'm talking about. And Judaism is, and Christianity for that matter, they're both based on the Old Testament. It's Ten Commandments, the God of the Bible. Okay. So that's what we're talking about in the fact that we have abandoned, the very standards which God has given to us. The Ten Commandments. For example, you know, murder. Hey, if there isn't a God who says murder is wrong, then murder can be subjectively wrong, but not objectively wrong. This according to PragerU, for example. Or the God judging our behavior and such and being held accountable to God for our behavior. And outside of this spiritual worldview, there's no higher being to whom we are morally accountable. And that's what we're seeing on the left. They believe they are gods, small g gods, and the fact that they can actually rule over us without any, well, they've got the moral authority. They don't need the spiritual authority because they are the small g gods. That's what this is all about. And you know, the other thing, and Steve Quayle talks about this very quickly as we approach the top of the hour, that the fact that they hate us because all of us are created in the image of God. And race is not of no significance to God because we are all created in God's image and we all come from Adam and Eve, whose race, by the way, is not ever, ever mentioned, right? Yet how many, where do I see people saying, well, Jesus was black or brown or, stop it, okay? That many actual religious people have racist views. Man, the distortion and the ability of people to distort what is good is just, I guess it shouldn't be surprising. But look, America was founded on belief that God wants us to be free. Am I correct? Absolutely. On the Liberty Bell, there's an inscription. No, not the name of the company. It's a verse from the Bible. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all of the inhabitants thereof. The present assaults on personal liberty, which I should add is unprecedented at any other time in American history. Those assaults are coming directly from those who reject the Bible as their moral and spiritual guide and their life guide. And I would add, including more than a few Jews and Christians who have also joined the assault on the opposing side, having been indoctrinated with anti-spiritual views in high school and college in these indoctrination centers. So, when our Judeo-Christian principles, our ideology rooted in Judeo-Christian principles, when they are abandoned, and this is what this is all about, evil follows. Evil follows. And many secular conservatives recognize the fact that when we lose this ethos, this theology, this ideology of Judeo-Christianity in the West, there goes the West. We descend into chaos of all sorts, and we're seeing that happen. Whether it's a cousin it at the HHS, whether it's Drag Time Story Hour, whether it's the street urchins busting up property, causing billions of dollars of damage, whether it's the stand down of the police in that respect, whether it's the arresting of the people who are defending themselves or even the assault by the military or against the military. And, you know, creating this woke military, which will weaken our country. This is all part of this. What did we see when Christianity died in Europe? We saw the rise of communism. We saw the rise of Nazism. We saw the rise of fascism. So the question remains, and what will happen if in this country, if Christianity and Judeo-Christian values are removed completely and forever? Aside from the fact that, and I was talking to Daniel Holdings, the hand of God, his protection will be removed and judgment will be in place. It's going to get a lot worse. There's so much more to get into, but please pay attention to the larger picture, and that is the assault against our beliefs, especially on this Good Friday. Again, the celebration of Resurrection Sunday coming up. You don't have to call it Easter. I understand the occult nature of the word Easter, Astera. I mean, look, I understand all of that. But if we can agree upon the resurrection, if we can agree on the crucifixion and resurrection, and the only way to get to heaven is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we can agree on that, and that's what this holy time is, then all of the other disagreements are really moot. It's a moot point, is it not? I think so. All right. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Gold Star Radio Network, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. And I want to apologize to those people looking for the show notes. If you open up the on HagmanReport.com, if you go to HagmanReport.com and click on the banner that's on the top, you'll see a page to our show, our different episodes. And if you click on the episodes, you'll find the links embedded in there. And people, I've received emails from people saying, it's difficult. It's difficult to find the links and show notes. Where is it? I've tried. I'm not an idiot. And sometimes, and I have to apologize, sometimes I miss putting links in the different episodes. For that, I apologize. But one link I always put in when Austin Brower joins me is the link to Health Masters. Folks, do me a favor. I'd taken today Health Masters. I mean, I take it every day. But I'm glad I have the opportunity to take Health Masters nutritional supplements, whether it is the Ultimate Multiple or vitamin B or C or D3, K2, or even the Attention Factor, which I find just absolutely amazing, and the potency of the B vitamin, the B natural supplement, the potency of that, that's like getting a direct shot in your arm, in my view. Anyway, that's how it affects me. Every single product at healthmasters.com goes through a rigorous quality control, check to make sure they make it. All right. They make it. So it's good stuff. It's the best on the market. And I have a challenge for everyone listening. If you are taking a different supplement, if you are taking a different, if you're taking vitamin C from ABC or from Acme, okay, whatever, do me a favor. Try Health Masters. And this goes double for your everyday vitamin, your Ultimate Multiple vitamin. It goes triple for your B nutritional supplement. Change. And take Health Masters. And also go to healthmasters.com and check the product of the week and check the various other items that they have. They've got food buckets. They've got of course, product of the week, which is on sale. They've got all kinds of stuff there. And while you're there, click in the upper right-hand corner. It's a box on the upper right-hand corner, and you can tune into the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Austin, of course, is Ted's son, a great young man. And the young man, I believe, is one of the most intelligent young men I've ever met. And I'm not just saying that but he does a great job on the Ted and Austin Brower Show, which can be heard weekdays as well as Sunday. Just click the blue bar there, click the link on the right-hand side, and listen as you are shopping at healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Austin Brower, thanks for joining me, and we are on audio only right now, so you don't have to look pretty. Don't try to look pretty.
I'll try not to. I'm actually running my headset that I normally run for our daily show since I'm not on visual today. So I should have a pretty good connection, the internet. I should have a pretty good vocals with this headset. So yeah, thanks for bringing me on the show.
Well, hey, no problem. And you do, because when you came on, I think my ears might be bleeding because I can hear you like you're sitting next to me. It's just amazing. So I'm glad you're with me. I spent an hour kind of going through, just to kind of give you an idea, I spent an hour going through the first hour, going through the agenda, the objectives, and really what's taking place by the Biden regime. One of the things that I think is very transparent is who our enemies are. And then you can see the Biden regime doing certain things in the name of systemic racism, and I brought up the fact that they're actually destroying roads and actually not building roads because of systemic racism, which is just absolutely crazy, and certain other things. But they all fit together, and this represents, in sum, an attack on our Christian values. And that's kind of the big picture. So that's what I did the first hour. So wherever you want to go, take it wherever you want to take it.
Oh, I fully agree with you. That's exactly where this entire situation is headed, is they're using the excuse that they can come up with, whether it be racism, whether it be, you know, white supremacy or whatever idiotic topic that they can come up with that has no basis in reality. But as long as they can push the narrative, they're going to push it. You know, it's ironic. Now, I saw the article, the Federalist put it out, and there's even a couple other websites that basically have been discussing it now, is that the vast majority, you know, they've spent, what did they say, tens of thousands of hours now, the FBI has, reviewing footage of the alleged rioting protest in the Capitol on January 6th. They've investigated over 1,000 people. They've arrested over 300. And obviously they're trying to prove this massive power struck, you know, this power flex to show everybody what they're going to do. But now what's funny is they're saying that trespassing is probably going to be the majority of the charges that they can really get even anybody on, except for a few. A majority of people are going to have everything dropped. They said prosecutors have loaded up their charging documents with all types of obscure language about an existential threat of an insurrection, the Republic, and actions of many of the individual rioters honestly boiled down to trespassing. The judges have looked at it and said, dude, there's nothing to charge here. You guys are basically grasping at straws. This is a giant witch hunt. And what's funny is the Justice Department prosecutors set expectations sky high in their early statements and court filings, describing elaborate plots to murder lawmakers, that they went in there basically to do a mass killing spree on Congress. And it was so far-fetched. Even the judges that I think even some of them are fairly liberal that have been involved in this, they're kind of like, dude, this is still a court of law. This is still innocent until proven guilty. Saying that somebody showed up at a protest and stood outside of the Capitol building and protested and trying to tie them in to basically conspiracy to commit murder, you guys are smoking dope. And Joy Pullman at the Federalist wrote an article and pointed out that the FBI has literally been missing hundreds of terrorist and child sex trafficking cases while they've been devoting such enormous efforts to investigating January 6th. Even the USA Today said agents in all but one of FBI's 56 field offices had been drafted to track down people who attended the Capitol protest that day. They said investigators who typically work cases involving trafficking of drugs, child pornography, and sex trafficking have been pretty much deluged with calls from tipsters talking about they know somebody at some point in time talked about going to the Capitol on January 6th. And remember, I told you everybody on the show about 2 months ago, I had to go over to the West Coast, and I was coming back down I-75, and there's this big, giant digital billboard says, if you know anything about the deadly Capitol riots, call the FBI hotline. Big, giant billboard. I'm sitting there going, I wonder who's paying for that. You know, those billboards aren't cheap, especially those big digital ones like that. I know. They cost some serious money on the interstate to basically acquisition those for months at a time. And I kind of shook my head and I said, so we have literally thousands of unoccupied children coming across the border that now are pretty much being released to we don't know where, more than likely into child sex trafficking, unfortunately. We have all the drug running that we could ever want coming out of the southern border that still goes on. We have individuals that come in from Syria at 12 years old that end up deciding at 21 they want to shoot up a supermarket. And the FBI had actually already had him on a radar list. Didn't do anything about it. So all these things are going on regularly all around the country, and they're worried about interviewing people that might have had some type of motive that went to the Capitol protest on January 6th. This is clearly a blatant witch hunt, and even the judges now are saying, dude, this is going to be like trespassing charges at best, and you guys are lucky to get that since this is technically a federal building. You know, how does trespassing work on federal building when the taxpayers are the ones that actually pay for the building to stay maintained? I still haven't understood that aspect of it, but I guess that's what they're going to say. So again, this narrative starting to crumble. So they're going to have to come up with something pretty soon. So my whole reason in bringing this up is A, it's good news because vast majority of these people that have been unlawfully arrested, in my opinion, are pretty much have all lawyered up. And so it's putting a big hindrance. But secondly, that means that they're going to have to come up with something very, very soon to justify the massive National Guard presence, the massive amount of money spent on the fencing and razor wire all around the Capitol, and the massive push at the very beginning of the year, as we saw with Homeland Security and FBI, saying that American domestic terrorism was the number one threat to this country. So all that narrative crumbles upon itself if vast majority of these people get trespassing charges and a few of them get vandalism or whatever other, you know, battery on an LEO, something like that. I mean, but it's still in the scheme of things. These are all really bogus charges. So what do you think about this? Do you think they're going to have to try to pull another wild card out of their hat to keep this narrative going that basically, you know, patriot Americans are the biggest domestic terrorist threat in this country, Doug?
Yes. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because one of the graphics I have, and I think this goes to a larger picture. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Just put this up on the screen. It's the history of disarming the public, okay? And it's got Stalin, it's got Mao Zedong, and it's got Adolf Hitler pictured in the quotes. I believe it's the intent, whether it's through the Chinese Communist Party's social credit score model or through and or through labeling us as domestic terrorists or threats, including health threats with the vaccination identification, you know, the experimental gene therapy identification, QR codes or whatever, that they're going to use that as the pretext to label anyone, again, who's free-thinking, sane, rational, and as threats to the republic, as the pretext to take our weapons away. That's just one aspect of it, but a big aspect because they so desperately right now want to take our guns from us. They so desperately want to do that because they know they can't really make too much of a move right now if as long as we're armed. So that to me is like the golden nugget that they're after. Yep. Okay. Now, obviously, in the meantime, they're going to make things miserable for us. You want to travel to another state, you've got to have a digital passport. You want to travel on a plane, whatever, digital passport. But to me, the real objective here is to make sure we don't have any weapons to fight back with. Because in history, go back to history, man. Stalin, you know, the Chinese, Hitler. I mean, and even more recent examples, this is what it's all about. And I think it was on Tuesday. Real quick, I did a show, and metallicman.com had this tremendous historical look back on Tuesday, but it's been out forever, of all of the oppression by government, but all government oppression against its citizens. And the results, I mean, it's graphic, it's troubling, but this is really, I believe that this is the end game in which we find ourselves today. And that's a long answer to perhaps an unnecessarily long answer to a simple question, but I think that's the end game objective.
Oh, I fully agree with you. You can't even, if you're awake, you can't even argue the fact that that's where they're going to go. I told my buddy of mine yesterday, I said, think about this for a second. Look at what they've done to these businesses. Some of these businesses, them padlocking the doors, and they pull the doors back off and they arrest people on the inside and they fine them hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like we've seen up there, you know, an example with the Attalus gym up in New Jersey, like we've seen the Ten Horn Flats over in Burbank. And we see what they're doing to these businesses. No basis in scientific at all. No scientific evidence at all. Just simply saying, you can't be open because we told you. You can't be open. Doesn't matter if you're using extra good sanitary habits. Doesn't matter if you're still restricting the amount of people who come in. Doesn't matter if you're even social distancing tables or equipment. Doesn't matter. That's all erroneous. You can't open because we told you you can't open. That is a dangerous precedent, Doug. And what I told my buddy is I said, think about this for a second. You can't go to the beach. You can't go see your family. You can't go out to the restaurant. You can't leave your home. You can't go travel. These are all the things they tell us you can't do. Imagine what they would be doing right now if we didn't have 400 to 500 million firearms in the United States populace circulation in the civilian market, along with tens of billions of rounds of ammo in the civilian market. Think about that for a second. Well, if you want to get an example, look at the UK. Look at Australia. Going in and people that are 2 kilometers away from their house, more than 2 kilometers, they say, we need to see your ID. You're sitting on a bench drinking coffee. Yeah, okay. I'm drinking coffee. We need to see your ID. You're 2.3 kilometers from your house, sir. You're not allowed to be 2 kilometers past your house right now. We're citing you and arresting you for basically failing to follow pandemic guidelines. You go, dude, I want to come get coffee. Shut up. Excuse me? All right, now you're under arrest for basically assaulting an officer. I didn't assault you. Now you're resisting arrest. Yep. Now it's battery on an LEO. We've seen numerous videos of it. Look at Australia. They're turning around and basically going into people's houses and arresting them because they've made comments on Facebook about wanting to protest the lockdowns or not supporting the lockdowns. Remember the one video surfaced, a lady who's pregnant. They come to her house with a search warrant. Oh, we're here to arrest you. We have an arrest warrant. For what? You basically made comments in a group that wanted to have a anti-mask, anti-lockdown protest, so you can't do that. I just made a comment about this is a serious issue and we don't need to be locked down anymore. Yeah, I know, you're going to jail. They're doing it. They're doing it right now. All over the world they're doing it. And the United States still has that spark of freedom in a lot of us, and the United States still has an insanely large weapon supply.
Yep.
And that's not saying that I want to use weapons to keep us from locking down. What that's saying is they need to respect the fact that we will only be pushed so far and that complying with this is not an option anymore. Down here in Florida, Governor DeSantis came out now and said they're working on an executive order for Florida that he will make sure no federal or state implementation of a COVID passport or a private business can implement a COVID passport. COVID passports will not be allowed in the state of Florida, he said. Now, we'll see how far he's going to push that. He's getting a ton of backlash over it, but I'm hoping he really stands true on that because that is exactly where you're going. And there's a video of a lady that did an interview with CNN. I'm going to see if you guys can hear this real quick.
Okay.
And what she said, I couldn't even find it online. Somebody sent it to me on social media and then I verified it, but I couldn't even try to replicate it because CNN scrubbed it. Here it is right here. Listen to this.
A window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because otherwise, if everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Wow. Because otherwise, people are going to go out and enjoy these freedoms anyway. We have a very narrow window.
Could you hear that on the show?
Absolutely. And I found that very clip. I saw it on patriots.win. Okay.
Okay.
And that's, they have absolutely scrubbed that from everywhere.
Yes. No, they've scrubbed it all. I had a hard time finding it. And I mean, she says it right there. Well, if we don't do this, people are going to enjoy those freedoms. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? So they're telling us now that the only way we get to exercise our freedom is if we get their RNA experimental gene editing shot that hasn't been approved by the FDA? Are you joking me right now? And what happened was this went out on CNN and they got – I mean, I saw some of the comments. And I mean, I'm talking thousands of comments all mm-hmm. over on different social media platforms. Eviscerated. They had this hardcore communist on their show. And I told my buddy – I sent it to my buddies. I said, if you wanted to know what they're planning on doing with this, I said, they just told you. I said, the problem is she didn't do it with enough finesse. She came out flat out and said exactly what they're planning. They don't like doing that. They like to have bobblehead Fauci up there and say, oh, well, you know, this is what we have to do for the safety and we have to do this and do this. And he basically turns around and deflects it and subverts the entire comment and basically makes it so it sounds like it's okay. She just flat out told you, what's the carrot going to be if we allow people to enjoy their freedoms without getting the vaccine? I'll tell you what the carrot's going to be. The carrot's going to be that we don't all stand up as 300 million Americans and rack and tap AR-15s and say, come and take them. No more lockdowns, no more masks. You guys can go to hell. Excuse my language on that. That's the carrot that they need to be looking at, because I think the rest of the country now is starting to look at Florida and look at Texas and go, we've been played.
Yeah.
We're all being played like fools. If this was a absolute deadly pandemic and there were bodies in the streets stacking up and you could not keep up with the freezer load with all everybody dying, please explain to me Texas and Florida. I said that to somebody the other day that was kind of like, well, you know, I don't know if we need to be open. I said, okay, they sent me an email. I said, please, that's a question. Please explain to me Texas and Florida. Florida's been open since September. Social distancing doesn't exist down here. A couple major cities still mandates masks that very few people listen to. Other than that, we're wide open.
That's right.
Everywhere. Why? Yep. But Doug, we're all supposed to be dead down here. Or we're all supposed to be dead, right? I guess we're zombies now. I mean, I guess you could play that card. I mean, but reality, that's the whole question. And see, this is why they were so mad at DeSantis when he opened up Florida, because it did exactly what we said. It woke up everybody, and everybody goes, okay, this is strange. Everybody else is locked down, and their numbers are still going up. Florida's open, and the numbers are going down. Something doesn't make sense, and sure enough, it doesn't. And this is what we're starting to see now over and over and over again, where people are waking up. Now we're basically having a giant protest at the Polk County School Board down on April 27th in Lakeland. Even though my kids don't even go to public school, I have a group of people that we're getting together now to basically hire a part-time teacher to do class at each one of our houses, basically like a homeschool class with different kids. And we're putting that together because I've said repeatedly, I said, I'm not going to put my kids in a school system that forces them to be subjected to this mask mandate that's completely and totally nonsensical. It makes no sense. There's no science backing it. And apparently a lot of people in Polk County are right there with me. So we're going down there to basically tell them that pretty much they're either going to drop the mask mandate, or the vast majority of parents or children are either going to pull their kids out of the school, or they're not going to comply at all, period. I know a lot of schools aren't even really pushing it that hard, but we have some schools down here that the principals are just the real hardcore leftist communists, and they are adamant about it. And I was talking to Brad, one of our good friends and customers. He works at a high school here locally. He's a teacher. And he said the vast majority of the kids in the school all wear their mask like chin straps. He said 90% of them all day, it's around their chin, like a chin strap. They're facing and covered. If some of them may have it barely around their mouth, he said 90% of most the whole day. And I said, doesn't that show you that obviously there's not an issue with COVID in the school, because everybody would be contracting it if the mask worked and they weren't wearing masks properly? He said, that's what I've been yelling about the whole time. And he said, it's all turned into just a blind compliance. And he goes, here's the issue we're going to run into with this, Austin. These kids, this age bracket right now, are being so trained, shut up, put on your mask. Doesn't matter if it's on right. Doesn't matter if you don't like it. You shut up and you put on your mask right now. They're being trained to be such good subservient slaves that in the next 5 to 10 years, when other things happen, say like a Mark of the Beast chip or a cashless currency, they're just going to go, well, whatever. It's like the mask. Just go along with it. Get it over with. I don't want to deal with this right now. We already know how this goes. And that's exactly what's going to start happening. You're going to see all these kids refuse to even stand up for their most basic aspects of freedom, most basic aspects of freedom, like breathing fresh air. A Clearwater school, which is on the west coast over there off the Gulf, beautiful area in Clearwater, they've become so draconian about it now. They're forcing kids not only to wear masks, they're checking them with a temperature gun every single day when they come into school, and they're now telling the kids and the parents that if the children do not obey the face mask policy, they're telling students, teachers, staff, visitors that the masks are mandatory on school property and all school buses at all time. If there's noncompliance with the children, the punishment basically is that the kids have to go in and take a re-education class on the importance of wearing a mask. I kid you not. They said the wearing of a face covering is a public health issue. Students who do not wear the mask when it's required or refuse to do so will first be re-educated in class on the importance of wearing a mask. If after the re-education occurs, they still do not comply, the student administrator should be contacted and outlining that the parents will also be contacted and the student will be forced to switch to online learning for the remainder of the year. Now, if this doesn't tell everybody in conjunction with now that Moderna and Pfizer are rolling out their child testing from 6 months to 16 years old with the shot now. If that doesn't tell you that what's going to happen, and I will put any amount of money on it figuratively, in the fall, once they get emergency authorization of this shot for children up to 6 months old, they're going to mandate it in the school system. So they're going to say it's a public health emergency. You have to get your shot if you're a child. And if you don't, you're going to have to go to online learning and basically be an outcast and not go anywhere. You're going to be stuck at home all day long, basically watching virtual online class, which is horrible. That's where they're taking this right now. And they're getting everybody conditioned to doing it. And that is the problem that we're starting to see. The same thing with this COVID passport.
Before you move on from the mask, if I can just interrupt you for a second.
Please.
Okay. Daniel Horowitz on The Blaze today published an article titled "Dismantling the Mask Deity. Arkansas Senate passes bill to permanently ban mask mandates." Now, that's only like half the story, okay? That's just part of it. That's the headline. And he writes this. He said that there's never been anything implemented by government with as much religious zeal and cruel disregard for science and humanity as the mask mandate. And then he put up a couple of charts, Arkansas and Tennessee, daily new deaths per 1 million and showing when the mask mandate was applied and, historically outward from there. Okay. And it shows no discernible difference in the number of deaths. All right. What really got my attention though, remember the Spanish flu back 100 years ago. I knew this was a thing based on my research, but I couldn't find any documentation. There was a newspaper article, and I sent it to Eric the Tech, and here it is on the screen. This is from 100 years ago, during the height of the Spanish flu, where this is a newspaper article saying that expert flays flu mask. Sorry about that. That's a kind of a tongue-twisting headline, but you get the idea. In other words, masks don't do anything. And then there's another article in that, or another newspaper article in that section saying that, look, it's the influenza masks are essentially stupid. They're useless. They're absurd was the word that was used by doctors at that time. It's an amazing article. So with respect to masks, and one last thing about that, the WHO, not the group, but the World Health Organization, they had a video that has been scrubbed from their website. It's archived. I found it early this morning. I don't have it. It's like a 4.5 minute, video about the proper usage of a mask. And it went through a paper mask and it went through, look, this is not going to, essentially said that this is not going to stop you from getting or giving, any kind of virus. it's just going to stop the spit coming from your mouth, okay, essentially. And so you don't get any spit in or out of your mouth. And once it gets wet, you've got to take measures to, you know, to carefully take it off your face, never touch the outside of the mask. And they went through these intricate steps, but the bottom line was they're useless is what the message was. And of course they scrubbed that. So yes, to what you were saying, even back 100 years ago to the present, the masks are virtue signals of subjugation. So sorry, but I wanted to get that in there because I thought that was an expertly done article that really destroyed the mask mandate crap. So go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You nailed it on the head. And we've put numerous articles on our website as well, along with you, about the science behind it. And from the very beginning, when they first started this whole it's a charade is what it is. It's theater, like Rand Paul called it. It's theater. And, you know, we called it out from the very beginning. That's why I got so much flack at first, because I was so adamant about refusing to wear a mask. Because as soon as I started hearing the mandates about it and people telling me to do it, I said, that's kind of odd. Let's look into this, though. I'm not going to discount it right off the gate. And then I started looking at the research and the aspect of what they were saying, and none of it made any sense from a scientific standpoint. And then you start looking at what they do recommend. Well, this mask isn't good enough. It needs to be tighter fitting. We need to loop the ear loops twice so it's tighter on your face, and then put two masks behind it. And I went, dude, this is just becoming full-blown lunacy. And then NBC comes out and says, well, three masks works better if you triple up your mask together. And then that's when I finally was like, okay, now they've gone full stupid. I said, if that's the case, then, you know, eight layers of Saran wrap around your face works the best. Just roll it all around your head eight times, and I promise you, you'll never have COVID get in your ears or your eyes or your nose or your mouth. You'll just be dead because you can't breathe. You die from asphyxiation if we're going that stupid. And so, I mean, that's the whole thing that kind of, you know, we went for. And you could see how this has been used so much to comply. And the biggest thing I told people, I said, once we realized what was going on with this, and that 74% of the population who had died, even with the bloated numbers of deaths, 74% of the people who have died, according to the CDC, were either morbidly obese or overweight. And this is what I talked about on our show earlier today, is that almost everybody that I've heard about or found about who has actually died from COVID, allegedly died, not they got in a car wreck and got decapitated and got a nasal swab, you know, when in the morgue, but actually died from, you know, on a respirator. Majority of them had serious health problems and or were very overweight or obese. And so that's why I've continued to tell people our health is our own responsibility. It's not the doctors. It's definitely not bobblehead Fauci's. And it sure as heck ain't the bumbling foon clown in office. It's your responsibility. This is why they've continued to take away that ability of being self-reliant on your family and yourself. And they've tried to strip that from people. Not successfully with a lot of us, but a lot of people they have. They've stripped it from you and making you believe you're powerless. You don't believe anything. You can't trust anybody. You have to be scared of everyone. You need to wear a mask. You need to stay at home. You need to get an injection. And don't question what's in the shot. We tell you it's safe for you. You believe it's safe for you. But as we have seen now, in minutes from numerous doctors, there is no way this thing is even safe. We're seeing thousands of deaths now admitted by the CDC data dump with tens of thousands of adverse events. Heck, in the UK now, which Germany, again, has halted the entire AstraZeneca shot injection for the second time now, because they had nine more deaths from blood clots right after the AstraZeneca injection in Germany. Germany said, Okay, now we're really holding this. Now the UK has refused to do it. They said, no, we are not going to stop this injection. We're going to continue to do it. Even though last week alone, it was a week and a half, over 10 days, they had 95 new deaths in the United Kingdom following the AstraZeneca COVID shot. So far, between December 9th and March 21st, there's been 713 deaths confirmed from the AZ shot and 495,345 serious injuries recorded following the experimental injection. And this is from gov.uk. This isn't me coming up with numbers out of thin air. This is what they're telling you. Literally in a 2.5 month period, we have seen, or 3 month period, almost half a million serious adverse events from this injection. Doug, it doesn't take anybody as a rocket scientist to figure out there is something very, very wrong with what they're putting into people. This is never okay. Even some of the worst vaccines we've ever seen, like the MMR vaccine and, you know, basically the HPV vaccine, don't even have anywhere near this level of side effect this fast. If this is the case, this means by pretty much the end of the year, the UK is going to be reporting anywhere between 1.5 and 2 million serious adverse events and upwards of 2,000 to 4,000 deaths in the United Kingdom alone from this AZ shot if they keep up this pace. But what's ironic is when we saw the cases of COVID, couple hundred people got sick from COVID, couple thousand people got sick from COVID, couple hundred people died from COVID. It was like the whole world was coming to an end in the UK and in Europe. Oh my gosh, we've got 5,000 positive cases. Not in the hospital, they're not in a respirator, but it's a positive case, so we need to be scared. We got to stop everything we're doing. But yet we've had 500,000 serious adverse events from the AZ shot in the UK in 3 months, and nobody is even questioning why they think this is okay to keep on when numerous other countries in Europe have halted it, including Germany for a second time now. Have people become this blind, Doug, or have people just become this tired of this alleged pandemic that they're willing to do anything with the sheer hope of normality, when we realize now it doesn't matter if you get this injection, there will be no going back to normal. And here's why.
Yeah.
A large percentage of the populace aren't going to get this shot. Right. They will never allow the populace to go back to normal until everybody's injected. They've already said this. The lady just said that on
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. Yep. What you just said, what she said on CNN, yeah, that was scrubbed. You can't, you obviously, you know, you can't be that blunt about it. You've got to be a little bit more judicious in your statement. So that's why they scrubbed it. But you know, I posted on March 30th. I posted on my website from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, which is a U.S. government funded database that tracks injuries and deaths through March 19th. Of this year, the CDC admitted 2,050 were dead from the directly caused by the experimental gene therapy known as the vaccine, and 44,606 injuries. That's through March 19th, and there's more added every single day from these injections. So yes, you're exactly right. So, I mean, is this part of population control or culling the population? Is that what this is all about? I mean, what's the?
To me, that's what it's appearing to be. And I mean, and you know, the irony about this too, Doug, and this is what I've said many times, you know, we're seeing the front load effect, essentially the front loading of all these shots from a 3 month spread. That's it. That's what we're seeing right now. What is going to happen with autoimmune problems and all types of other health problems that this COVID shot is probably going to cause? Numerous doctors have said this, including the retired prior CEO of Pfizer, who is also part of the scientist division for, 17 years. And he said this thing needs to be stopped immediately. He said the autoimmune responses we're going to see from people when they're exposed to another serious virus is going to be catastrophic because of this RNA shot. Then it goes on to believe, then you kind of go, okay, what's going to start occurring too? We've already seen normal side effects from vaccines, including arthritis, including increased risk of cancer, including colon problems and digestive issues, allergy issues. All of those are pretty much normal side effects from shots. That's a given. So what's going to start occurring the next couple months, considering the fact we're only seeing the very early phases of this shot rollout? And it still boggles me to no end. And it's been nice because I actually have found more people now that are more awake. But more and more people I'm talking to, every time I talk to them, I'm like, listen, I said, do not live in fear. I said, if you are awake and you're a Christian, you understand that God has blessed us with this incredible thing called an immune system. And if you let it work and you let it do its thing and you give it the proper nutrients like vitamin D, vitamin C with quercetin, zinc, it does this miraculous thing called keeping you healthy. Oh, You know, this crazy concept that's floating around. But see, my opinion too, with this COVID gene editing therapy, regardless of what it's going to do to you, regardless of the side effects, all the list goes down the line. The next question that I bring up is, when you're taking this, you're blatantly saying, if you're a Christian, you're blatantly saying, I do not trust my body. I do not trust my immune system. I do not trust that God made me wonderfully and fearfully made. I am terrified and I live in fear, even though fear is not of God Almighty. And I'm going to go take an experimental shot that I don't even know what's in it because I'm so terrified my body can't handle anything. That's essentially what you're saying, Doug. And I know I'm going to get some emails on that. I know I'm going to step on some toes. Whatever, I'm probably not even going to read them if you start chewing me out in the email, but that's my stance on it. And Ted and I both agree on it. When you start going in and you start doing gene therapy to you, start editing your genes with experimental technology over the entire basis that you're scared of getting a virus that has a 99.9% survival rate, and we've already seen that vitamin C, D3, and quercetin and zinc knock it out of you within usually a matter of days to a week or two, depending on the severity of your body's response. To me, the whole question is why? And this is where it's starting to go too with the COVID passport. This is what I brought up earlier.
Yep.
What this lady just said, and you think about this for a second. You know, we can travel and do anything we want without a phone. Currently right now, you could go still use a payphone if you want. Or you could pretty much just travel without a phone. Use an old map. I used to use them all the time. There's just crazy things. Like young kids don't realize they're called paper maps. You actually map out where you're going, put a highlighter to it, take the exits. Yeah. You can still use those. And you can still travel and go around and have no phone, have no slave tracker. You get a 70 or 80 car, you know, EMP proof it. You pretty much nobody track anything on you. So, but now they're making it a point to where you're pretty much not going to be able to leave your house, Doug, without your phone because your vaccine passport is going to be on your phone, meaning they're going to force you to keep your slave tracker with you all the time and show your papers before you're admitted to any restaurant, store, mall, whatever they want to do in some of these hardcore states. New York's pretty much the first one that's really championed this and told everybody how great it is. And how they're going to be forcing everybody to get a COVID vaccine passport if they want to do anything. Well, I mean, obviously you see where that's going. Now they're paying people to get this injection. There have numerous companies now are giving people incentives. Amtrak's giving people 2 hours paid off. Kroger's giving people $100 store credit and $100 payment. Liddell is shelling out $200 to each employee that gets a vaccine. Target's giving people 4 extra hours on their payroll. Darden restaurants, including Olive Garden, Longhorse, they're giving people 4 hours of pay. So what they're doing is now they're incentivizing people by giving them money. Well, because the first rollout was the compliance group.
Yep.
You roll out the shot, they're not going to ask questions. They're going to go get the injection because they're blind sheep. They're going to take it. Well, now they're in phase two. Now they're starting to get a little resistance. So now they're picking on people that basically don't have the income and they need extra cash right now because they've shut down the doggone economy. So now you start bribing people the $100 or $200. And to a lot of people, some people, that can be a lot of money, especially if you're running really tight. So now you're getting the shot because you need the extra cash. Then they're starting to roll out the vaccine passports. And once there's more people vaccinated than not in the United States, listen to me clearly on this, once there's more people vaccinated than not, that's when they're going to start really trying to cram down on the vaccine passport and try to prevent you from being able to do anything, including going back to a normal life, open up your business, having a job. Because at that point, the unvaccinated will be the minority in this country, and it'll be much easier to get people to comply because so many people went along with the flow. That is a point we cannot allow ourselves to fall at that point. Once we reach that, we will reach that because there's so many people that are blind. Once we reach that point, we have to stand on our convictions and say, no, I don't care what you say, what you do, what you prevent, how you try to control me. I will live free and I will never consent. Because remember, that's what this vaccine comes down to. It always comes down to consent. They will not under any circumstances be able to federally mandate a shot, meaning they're going to hold you down house to house on a gurney and inject you with this. They will never be able to do that with the Supreme Court. I mean, with any of the courts, they will never get passed. Not to mention the PR would be a nightmare. So what they're going to do is they're going to slowly try to erode our rights to all the people that don't want to get this shot. And a lot of people are going to consent. Once you consent, remember, The FDA is not liable because this is emergency use. The vaccine manufacturers are exempt because Congress made sure they could do that. And now you're going to be stuck holding the bag, looking at yourself in the mirror, unbelievably sick, horrible, debilitating conditions, whatever happens down the road. You're going to go, wow, I should have never taken that injection. Remember what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said a few months ago? He said, if you get COVID, we can treat you very easily with intravenous vitamin C, mega doses of D3. We already know the protocol. We know how to make it work. Same here, the health mask we recommend. That's why we put the virus protection kit. It's very easy to treat. He said, once you get this RNA gene editing therapy, your body becomes a pathogen production site, meaning you actually start making the pathogen yourself to trick your body into trying to make antibodies for it. He goes, which means if you start having severe adverse events, whether right after the shot or months later after the shot, he said, there is not going to be anything we can do to help you at that point. You took a gene editing shot. We're just going to have to play it out and see what happens to you. There will be no change in it. We can't go back in and reverse what they've done to you with this shot. This is why RNA vaccines were never approved by the FDA, even though they were attempted on the last 10 to 12 years. The FDA never approved them because they said, we do not know what this is going to do long term. And then I guess they got enough bribe money, they got enough blackmail stuff, that finally they said, okay, guess what? We're not going to approve them. But we're going to give them emergency authorization so you guys can basically experiment on the entire world. And that is exactly where we find ourselves right now, Doug. This is a giant experiment on the world to see what's going to happen, to see who's going to comply with the shot, and see what's going to happen with the shot weeks, months, and years down the road. Remember, Fauci's already come out now and said, it doesn't matter. This vaccine may not work. We're going to have new updated vaccines on a regular basis because all these variants, all these wild strain variants are going to come out. And I'm sitting there going, you guys tried this with the flu for the last 20 years, and it's an abysmal failure. Every year the flu shot's a joke. It doesn't work. So now you're telling us we're supposed to believe that you're going to come out with a new updated RNA COVID shot every 6 months that we're going to have to get a booster injection of? What's going to happen to our health after you start injecting people year after year with RNA gene editing technology? Anybody bothered to check that out? No, no, we haven't. Because why? We skipped ferret and we skipped primate testing. We went right to human testing on this, and we did it so fast we have no idea the long-term side effects with these injections and what they're going to do. So enough of my vaccine rant. I'm just in a rough mood today with that because I've been dealing with it all week with people.
You know, I'm with you there. You know, why would any rational thinking person be so eager to have this experimental cocktail injected into their bloodstream that would potentially trigger all manner of long-term ailments, even death? I mean,
yeah.
And there's a phrase that people are going to start hearing now, vaccine hesitancy. Vaccine hesitancy. Okay. Yep. And that's being used to describe people who have decided not to get the vaccine, and it's intended to disparage and to denigrate those of us who are skeptical of this experimental therapy, and suggesting that we are the ones with a mental condition, for example, like schizophrenia or, you know, bipolar disorder, whatever. It's a very effective way to discredit us. And you are exactly right. And folks, this is why, look, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to go to healthmasters.com, get their immune support package. I have, people in my office, family have, and I will tell you this, we haven't had so much as a cold. Now, I'm not making any claims, but I'll tell you what, you know, you might feel punky one day from whatever, you know, pollen or whatever it might be. But to me, this has kept me healthy. That's the way I look at it, because the only thing I've done differently is, started taking Health Masters some time ago. And I'll tell you what, I have not been sick. And I was actually exposed to the coronavirus, or this Chinese Communist Party virus. I'm fine. This was, I think, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. I don't know. It's far beyond the, stage that, you know, I would have gotten it by now. But nonetheless, the fact is they've got the best products on the market. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Folks, do yourself a favor. Take care of yourselves. Please do it. And your products are fantastic. And that's healthmasters.com. So yes, thank you for that rant, because people need to know that, there are so many ulterior motives behind these. And have you noticed too, just keeping on this vaccination stuff, these emotional, these emotional vignettes out there, for lack of a better phrase, by these actors, by people, yeah. It's for the greater good. Baloney, it's for the greater good. You know, it's psychologists have a name for that, and I believe it's, I don't even know what it is, but it's more of a presumptive kind of an approach. Again, there's a name that has the word presumptive in it, but I don't recall what it is. But yeah, so you're exactly right. Folks, it's your responsibility. Your health is your responsibility. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. All right, sir. Sorry. I just want to make sure people really understand. You folks have got the best nutritional supplements on the market. Throughout my life, I've tried them, probably tried most of them, you know, that are out there. And I've never had, more success or less sickness. I've never felt better than with Health Masters. So thank you.
Thank you, Doug. And I mean, that's why I just keep encouraging people. And it was funny, now more and more people around here are hearing our show, and they're just word of mouth, and we're talking about stuff. And, you know, Ted and I were really, really spearheading this in Central Florida last year. I mean, everywhere we went places, we were talking about the mask. We were talking about the vaccine before the vaccine got released. If you remember our show last summer, we started calling this out as soon as we found out it was an RNA shot. And it's funny, my wife's at the bank the other day, and like one of the bank managers there's open up her account, and she goes, your last name's Brower. Can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. She goes, I've heard your husband's show, and I need to ask you, what do you think about the shot? And so Lana, you know, basically tells him the same thing that she's researched along with me. And she goes, okay. She goes, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels crazy. She goes, I know it's kind of unprofessional, but there's all this talk in the bank right now about getting the shot, and I don't feel right about it. And Lana said, here's my answer to everybody. If you don't feel right about it, don't do it. And I can't say that more sincere. If you don't feel right about it, don't do it. Do not allow yourself to fall into peer pressure. It's funny. We saw Ronald Reagan and his wife on television. I think it was back in the 80s, 70s or 80s. I saw clips of it. I was obviously not alive back in the 70s. And they were doing the whole war on drugs. And they come in.
Yep.
And she goes, when people offer you drugs, in the 80s, she goes, just say no. Just say no. You know, don't give in to peer pressure. That's what I said to everybody else. I said, just say no. If you don't want to get injected with something, just say no. You have a right. You're an American. You have freedoms. You don't have to listen to this unbelievably ignorant fool on CNN saying, what's the carrot going to be if we let people have their freedoms without a shot? Last time I checked, there's not a single doggone thing in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution that discusses the government's ability or right to dictate my health and injections that go in my body. None. Zero. Nowhere. At all. Ever. Period. Yep. My health is nobody else's responsibility but mine. Always remember that, my friends. If the government cared so much about you, and this is what gets liberals real mad. If the government cared so much about you, why do they still allow high fructose corn syrup that has been directly linked to non-alcohol fatty liver disease in the hundreds of thousands in this country to be in almost every food item? Why do they still let aspartame and Splenda be used in foods as an artificial sweetener when they know aspartame causes brain cancer and they know Splenda is a chlorocarbon and it has two chlorine atoms that break off when it meets hydrochloric acid and releases free chlorine atoms into the digestive tract, knocking out almost all probiotics with one dose of Splenda?
Yep.
Why is that in there? Why do they still allow people to go to the store and be able to go buy all manner of toxic foods and preservatives? Well, because that's their right. If somebody wants to eat that, they can eat it. Ah. So then it's my right if I don't want to get an injection with an RNA shot. Well, that's different. Like you said, Doug, it's for the greater good. The greater good of what? What's the greater good of? What are we doing for the greater good here? You're telling me I have to risk my life to make you feel better about you being an idiot because you got a shot? Here's the thing. If somebody's got a shot, great for you. If it works so good, why are you concerned about me getting a shot?
There's a million dollar
question. If you got a shot and you're allegedly protected and you're so healthy and you're such a strong virtue signaler, why do you give a rat's butt about if I'm injected with your sludge? You shouldn't, because the vaccine saves everybody, right? Oh no, it's herd immunity. We have to have everybody injected. Well, then that makes no sense at all, because then what's the point of the vaccine? Everybody's injected and that stops it from happening. Then why did we even need it in the first place? Because at a certain point in time, everybody would get immune to it by exposure from natural aspects like we did to the chicken pox.
Yep.
And we wouldn't have all these deaths and adverse events from the shot. So it's this whole thing is contradicting itself when you look at the numbers from Europe, from the UK. The CDCs are so grossly unreported. Like I said, one of the doctors we know in Missouri, he blatantly said 20 minutes. That's the cutoff. They have told them in the nursing home 20 minutes. If there are no side effects after by 20 minutes, then anything else that happens is erroneous, is not related to the vaccine. Period. He said that. And a lot of other hospitals have followed that same exact plan because they want to keep the numbers as low as they can while keeping the COVID numbers as high as they can. It's a game. It's theater. It's just watch what this hand does, but don't watch what the other hand does. It's a card game. It's sleight of hand. They're fantastic at it. So again, I encourage people continue striving to press on and on and on and stand your ground with what everybody is trying to push you for. Hold the line. Continue to maintain your convictions on what you need to do and where you need to stand on this, because it's not going to get better. I wish I had this huge, long rant. I could tell everybody how it's all going to stop tomorrow and everything's going to be fantastic. It's not. They're not going to give us our freedoms back. Just like England wasn't going to go down without a fight when the Revolutionary War. A lot of people don't realize, even after 1776, it was not over with. Remember, the Bill of Rights didn't even get ratified till it was 1781. They did not stop. England basically about dang near went bankrupt with that war. They were doing everything they could to continue to keep it going because they did not relinquish that power. Tyrants do not give up power without a fight. They never have and they never will. We're dealing with tyrant bullies right now, and they have got themselves a whole mouthful of power and they're excited about it, and they are never going to hand it back to anybody unless we take it from them. Free men don't ask permission to be free. Free men don't ask permission to open their business, and free men sure as heck don't ask permission to travel. We travel freely, unmolested, on our way. That's our God-given right to be able to do so, Doug. And everybody has to start reinstituting that mindset in their skull to say, hey, listen, I don't have to ask permission. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to consent to this. If somebody absolutely pitches a fit and calls the cops and tries to ask me trespass warrant because I refuse to wear a mask, that's a big, giant sign to say, hey, guess what? I'm not going to spend my money there anymore and continue. I've told people they've been dealing with it with businesses and companies they've been fighting. Continue to put health complaints in about the mask. Every week, put a health complaint in. I can't breathe well. I'm lightheaded. I can't do this. Well, here's the thing. They can't terminate you for being sick due to what they mandated you do. That's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. So there's a lot of loopholes that are going on right now, and I suggest in your state you talk to an attorney if something's going on you're not comfortable with, especially when it comes to businesses right now, because it's time, Doug. We take it back. It's not going to take itself back, and nobody's going to hand it back to us unless we demand it.
I totally agree. We've got about 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left. You know, the mantra here is at least with the experimental jabs, nobody is safe until everyone is safe, and that a global community must be further implemented in order to combat inevitable future pandemics. What they're saying here too, what was it, 2 dozen, I guess it was last week or earlier this week, 2 dozen world leaders are calling for more globalism because of this Chinese Communist Party virus, and to combat future pandemics, citing that this is an opportunity to consign nationalism to the dustbin of history. That's what this is all about. And you're right. They're not going to give us our rights back. And you know what? I do fear this, that when I say fear, I mean, I'm concerned that we're going to see some kinetic action here on the continental United States. in order to retain or regain our rights. Distinction with a difference there. I don't see any other way around this, because there are too many mind-numbed people out there who are just falling into this this path of least resistance, and we are being relegated to outcasts. And it's this is a behavioral psychologist utopia, in my view, to look at the responses of the people out there with the masks and the jabs and all this. So anyway, that's my point of view, and I do think that we are going to see some kinetic pushback on this campaign that's being, you know, posed against us. That's my view. But
100%, Doug. And I mean, and this just in from Breitbart, they just posted this: a vehicle.
Yep.
They're claiming two domestic terrorists rammed into a vehicle barrier and basically got out and were shot by the Capitol Police. Now, yes. The Capitol, U.S. Capitol's on lockdown now. What I tell you right at the beginning of the show, I said, you watch and see if they don't try to push the narrative now, domestic terrorism, after they basically found they can barely arrest anybody even on trespassing charges. Unbelievable.
You know, Serpico, I've interviewed Frank Serpico, and he worked narcotics in NYPD and such. And he exposed a lot of police corruption back in the 70s, planting drugs on, you know, the cops would plant drugs on people and such, or steal from the narcotics room and also, you know, and plant drugs. But I wonder if they planted MAGA hats on the two that they shot, or the two that ran that barrier.
You don't know. Well, I'm sure we'll find out later on tonight, because you know if CNN can flip the script, they'll do it the best they can, because quite frankly, it makes no sense. Why are you going to run your vehicle into a car barrier and get out with a knife in front of Capitol, law enforcement, National Guard? You're either a blithering moron or you're basically a nut and somebody's, you know, MK Ultra'd your butt and you're going insane.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll be following that story, folks. Obviously we're recording this, but we're going to be following that story. And you know, it's almost as if it's right on cue, isn't it? Right on time. Here we are.
Yep.
All right, brother. Well, I want to say thank you so much. You doing okay? You sound a little bit hoarse there.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple different shows. I've been staying super busy, so I haven't slowed down much this week. So I'm pretty excited. I'm actually going to relax some this weekend and chill with the kids.
There you go. Well, have a good Resurrection Sunday to you and your family. I appreciate what you do and what your dad does, what your family does. Healthmasters.com. Any coupon code or no?
Yeah, Doug5 is active. I actually activated it earlier today, so it's 5% off all regular priced items on the website at Healthmasters.
All right. My brother, thank you so very much. God bless you. And, yeah, get some rest this weekend.
Thank you, my friend. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that was Austin Brower. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. I'm telling you, the nutritional supplements from Health Masters, my favorite. I take them. And the attention factor, the magnesium, oh, my goodness. You know, I just real quick, I had a very dense project that I was involved in. It involves a lot of tedious work, numbers, letters, you know, word. I mean, it's just a huge project needing a lot of focus. And I can tell the difference when I take and when I don't take the attention factor. I swear by that stuff. That is great stuff. But regardless, go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And what Austin said earlier, and we are following this, a critical incident, the U.S. Capitol Police responding to the North Barricade vehicle access point along Independence Avenue for reports someone rammed a vehicle into two U.S. Capitol Police officers. A suspect is in custody. Both officers are injured. All three have been transported to the hospital. That was the initial report. Additional reports are coming in. The U.S. Capitol is on lockdown. Two police officers injured, transported to the hospital. And I'm going through this, and I'm looking at the vehicle. The jersey barriers are the type of jersey barriers coming from the pavement. It looks like this car hit that dead on. And, well, you can follow this on the news. You'll probably have more information as this program is posted. But, my goodness. Right on time, right? Watch. false flag operations, perhaps. I'm not saying this is, but isn't it interesting? We spent 4 years. How many mass shootings did we have with President Trump? Well, not counting Las Vegas. Interesting, isn't it? Folks, I want to wish you a very, very happy Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Day. Every day we should be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. May God bless each and every one of you. I want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And we're working on the video. Hopefully it'll be back up next week. God bless. Have a great weekend.